Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another brand new episode featuring my friends, the Extra Three. Had a lot of fun hanging out with these three, talking about how the band formed, doing some acoustic jamming in the living room, and I think you're really going to enjoy this one. Do want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located right here in St. Louis. Over in the Maplewood area off of Manchester, stop in and visit them at the shop and pick up all your favorite all-natural beard oils, beard balms, junk powder, one of my personal favorites, the Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in the beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. Shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com and use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. And even if you don't have a beard, American Rambler has you taken care of for all your grooming needs. Check it all out again at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Also, big shout out to my friends over at Heil Sound for helping me make this show sound great. Visit heilsound.com today and get yourself a brand new microphone. I am recording this intro on my PR40, and I love it. I think you will love it too. So pick yourself up one of these and take your recording to the next level. Also, if you haven't checked it out yet, you can pick up all your favorite Rock Paper Podcast t-shirts now exclusively at buyjack.com. Head on over there and get yourself a little Shaney t-shirt or one of the original logos. And those are a great way to help support this show. If you're liking what you're hearing and you want to throw a couple bucks in to help support the show and keep it running, grab yourself a little Shaney t-shirt today. Big thanks to everybody that already has. It's a lot of fun to see those out. I went out the other night and it just makes me laugh every time I see those out. So thank you everybody that helped support and bought one of those. If you need me, you can find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. You can hit me up on my email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail. Find me on the socials and, sit back, relax, enjoy this brand new episode with my friends, the Extra Three.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Steve.
This is Matt.
And this is Danielle with the Extra Three.
And you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out today with the Extra Three. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Thank you.
You all want to go around and properly introduce yourselves for everybody?
Sure. Start left to right. My name is Steve Bauer, play acoustic guitar and sing.
My name is Matt Rudolph. I play acoustic guitar and I don't sing.
I'm Danielle Walters and I sing and play tambourine and shaker.
Yeah. Yeah, this is very cool. I'm really glad to be here today. It's kind of been a little while in the making. I know we've been kind of floated the idea out there a while back of like we should do one of these. It'd be fun. And because I've known of
Steve and Matt for quite a while, and then I met Danielle through this project. But I, both of you guys, like, I've been wanting to sit down. I'm just a fan, and like, I enjoy. We've had many a conversations at the bar and different things, and I was like, man, we should do this. We should continue this conversation on the show someday. And and today's that day, man. We finally made it happen. So.
Four of us all together at one time.
There you go. And we don't have to like try to scream over a band somewhere or something like that.
Right.
That's the fun of it. I mean, like I have a lot, that's again, like a lot of these start somewhere while a band's playing or bar or whatever. And like, so it's just nice to have a conversation where we're not trying to have to talk over all that stuff. But yeah, we, so the Extra Three I know is sort of evolved, right? Like kind of like it started, with, I guess, more YouTube playing duo stuff.
Right,
and then, so how, let's go back to the beginning, how this all kind of started to forming as an actual project.
So I was playing solo gigs, and then Matt, I went actually to see Matt perform at Webster. I knew he played guitar, and I knew he played guitar well, but I didn't realize how well it was. And when I went to see him perform, I was like, oh my gosh, you have got to come and play all of my solo gigs with me, and I will pay you. And so we were doing that for what, like maybe 2 years, 2.5 years, something like that, on and off, because you were living in Cape too, so there was a lot of
So it was too. It was a solid like 6 or 7 months that we were doing the duo stuff pretty regularly.
Right.
And then I got a teaching job down in Cape Girardeau, and I had to move down there, of course, because it's 90 minutes from here. And pretty quickly into that, though, I was coming up to St. Louis just about every weekend, and I'd join him on his solo gigs anyway. So,
yeah. And then you moved back here, and we continued to do all of them.
Yeah.
And then,
well, actually, while I was down there too, though, it was probably in what, October of 2017, when the other guitar player kept having to call me to fill in for him because he took another gig with another band.
Yeah, because we're both in All Restored Up together.
Right.
Or, yeah. Now we are, but...
Yeah.
Did you guys meet through work first, or how did you guys...
I've actually known Matt since he was a little kid.
Yeah?
Since he, like, first started playing.
Yep. I started playing when I was 6, and Steve was managing at the Lesson Studio, where I took lessons for about 10 years before I started teaching there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, he actually got in All Restored Up, took over the lead in that. But we were already playing duet stuff, so it's been going on for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. It was March 18th of 2018 was my official date that I was hired with All Roostered Up.
All right.
And I was driving up from Cape Girardeau to St. Louis every weekend, and everybody that worked with me thought I was nuts for making that drive all the time, but that's...
It's
what kept me sane.
Sure.
And that's actually how we met Danielle then, was through that band, because... You got brought down there by a friend. You could tell that part.
Yeah. So Jeannie, who is my stepmother's mom, who's kind of like a stepmom to me growing up, had been trying to get me to come down for years to play my saxophone with All Roostered Up, actually, when Frank was still in the band. And I was like, no, I'm not going to do it. Started singing a little more. And then she was like, you know, why don't you come down and sing? And she'd been on me about it for like a month. And she texted me out of the blue one day, and I was like, all right, got nothing else better to do. So,
and I had known Jeannie for, God, forever, 10, 15 years, something like that.
Yeah, she'd been coming down to see you guys like every Saturday at that point. And was like, all right, let's do this, and showed up there. And I think I talked to you on set break.
Well, Jeannie stopped me on break. She goes, hey, this is Danielle. You should let her sing. And I'm like, okay. And then I go, well, what do you sing? And she goes, Angel from Montgomery. And I'm like, by John Prine? She's like, yeah. And I go, yes. And I go, what else? She goes, Zombie. And I'm like, by the Cranberries? Are you kidding me? Yes. And I was like, let's go. So she got up, and the place was packed too. I mean, it was like, it was a summertime, patio was open, like the whole place was packed.
Oh, I was shaking like a leaf. I never played live music before that either. So,
Well, the coolest thing in my eyes in this whole thing is, so me and Matt, we had jammed, you know, like we'd have like a server at a place we were playing, get up and sing a song, and it would sound cool. And I was like, yeah, that was a lot of fun, you know. Or somebody in the audience was like, hey, I sing, and they come up and do a song. Yeah, that's cool. And I've always wanted to be in a band and have a female lead singer. And so she did that, and I thought it was awesome. So I went after the show and I was like, you should give me your number. Maybe we'll jam sometime. So she gave me her number. And then later on that night, me and you were hanging out and I was like, hey man, that girl today, there was something different. There was really something different. I can't figure out what it is, but there was something different. He was like, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was like, should I call her? Maybe we'll have her come over. And,
I was like, absolutely. Yeah.
He's like, yeah. So I called her and she came over and we jammed a couple of times. We got to know each other. And then I found out that was like, what, the first time you had ever done something like that?
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah.
And I was like, that's what was different. Holy crap, man. Like a packed Saturday afternoon. She doesn't know anybody in the band. Well, you kind of knew the drummer, but
Bill Walters. Yeah. Yes. I worked with him at St. Louis Music. But for besides
that, you didn't know the rest of us and just mm-hmm. get up there and do that, you know? And I was like, that takes the balls.
Oh yeah.
It was impressive to me.
So before that, you would not even, wouldn't like, not even like school choir or anything like that? Or
so I, well, I did a couple open mic nights at like Picasso's and stuff. Now I was terrified and didn't do so hot, but I also was a Muni kid for several years and did that, but you know, nothing ever solo. You know, a couple school shows, you know, small things, but just kind of sang karaoke a lot and that's kind of like where it started. And but yeah, no, never went out and tried to start up with a band or try to start up a band of my own. And
I couldn't imagine how nervous you had to be that day.
I was so sick to my stomach. And for like the first like 3 months that I was going there, because I was just showing up on Saturdays just to get up with them, I could not eat, couldn't drink water. Like I was like, I'm going to puke everywhere. But I told myself, I was like, you can't be shaking when you go up on stage. You got to take a couple deep breaths and just go up there and act like everything is fine. When in reality, I was like, oh my God, like totally flipping out. But
that's you know, that Blazing Saddles scene, you know, like this. Look at that, steady as a rock. You know,
yeah,
like,
you know,
this is my shooting hand.
Yeah, no.
So yeah, that's that to me. It was like, I guess that's what I was thinking when I was like, "There's something I can't put my finger on. There's something special." And that's once I found that out, I'm like, "That's what it was." Like,
yeah.
To have the, you know, just the nerve to get up there and do that. That's a mad respect. You know?
Yeah. Well, Jeannie, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, shout out to Jeannie for believing in and pushing you out to get there to do that.
Oh, yeah.
She was just down at a show like a couple of weeks ago and she's like, man, you guys sound so great. And I'm like, you did this.
Yeah.
Like, you should be proud of yourself. You did this. This would have never happened without you bringing her down. So,
so the,
thanks, Jeannie.
Yeah, for sure. So you come start practicing, jamming a little bit, trying to figure it out, and then things clicked.
She kept coming to our duet gigs and she'd come up and sing a song here and there, you know, and would stay the whole show though. So, and she kept doing more and more. And then she was like, at one point she goes, well, you know, I know all the other songs that you guys do because I've been sitting here listening to you. I know all the words and everything. And then it was finally like one show you came and you're like, can I just do the whole show with you? And I'm like, sure. And then it was awesome. And then we're like, man, we should just lock down a band. And we did that and we're like, we're a band. And then COVID hit and they're like, you have no more gigs.
Yeah. The very last show that we did together was the first show I was getting paid from the venue. We were all splitting tips and everything. And like, everyone's like, oh, it's going to shut down. And I was like, no, it's not. No, it's not. And then he calls me and he's like, hey man, I got some bad news. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I got to that last gig, I go, be prepared for this to be the last one for a while. I just knew it was going south.
Yeah. The night before that it was jam packed and I mean, everything felt as normal as it could have at that point. But then the next night, there were like 10 people.
And they were all our friends.
Yeah.
They were all friends.
It was like nobody else in the place.
Just tumbleweeds going down the street.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man, what a mess. I'm glad we're like now, we're, you know, a year later, we're finally starting to kind of see that light that things are kind of starting to open up for the summer and again. And we're kind of. But yeah, I can't wait to get back to properly doing all this stuff. I mean, we're all doing our part, trying to, you know, going to these shows masked up and everything else and stuff. But it's going to be nice when we can get out there and hug and high five and everything else and do it right.
Yeah. I miss mosh pits so much. Yeah. I just want to get beat to hell in a mosh pit.
A lot of mosh pits at extra three shows.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely. So many.
Well, the crazy thing, too, for Danielle, like, I mean, I've been playing out for God since I was 19, so the things I've seen, you know, nothing really surprises me anymore. But because of the whole COVID thing, like some of the gigs that we did, because people just started like throwing private parties and stuff like that, we were playing like rooftops and like all the, like 16 floors up in the Central West End and everything. And I'm like, Daniel, this doesn't normally happen like 3 months into being a band. Like, you know, you have to kind of like usually earn this, but it just was what it is. You know, people are tired of not being able to see live music and they're like, hey, we're going to have a few friends over. Can you do like a small project? And I'm like, yes, I can. I have a small project that we've been working on. And what's really cool is a couple of those people have followed us all the way up to now. And you know, they're super supportive and they're just like, man, you guys don't sound anything shows, like, they're like, you don't sound anything like you did at the beginning. Like the beginning was cool, which is why we kept seeing you. But so they've been really supportive.
Yeah.
Shout out to Dr. Matt.
Yeah.
And Dr. Vicky.
And Vicky. And Marcus.
Yeah, and Marcus.
We love you guys.
And so, and Susan.
Yeah.
And where we are right now, actually, that was the first time that we played a party, at least that Danielle and I played a party where the cops were called.
Not my first time. That's actually a funny story, too. We were playing in the backyard here, and her driveway kind of goes up and around the house and there's a patio back there and that's where we were playing. And I looked up and there's an officer standing there and I was just like, yeah, cool. Cops are here, whatever. And I was playing. And then Matt like just stops playing and Danielle stops singing and I'm still playing. I look over, I go, what are you doing? They're like, the cops are here. And I go, yeah, so what are they? They're not going to come arrest us. Yeah. Like they're just going to have us started. And it was so funny. I'm like, no, you can just keep playing. You at least finish the song.
And then
you can deal with whatever the issue is after that.
Yeah. I sang the chorus of Santeria like 3 times in a row. I was like, they're going to come up here. I'm in so much trouble.
It's like, no.
That,
unless they just come up and unplug it.
And then the funniest thing was that she had another party like a month or two later and people, you know, the cops came again. She's got a lovely neighbor, just loves the extra three. And this time we played through it. And the funniest story about it was like, once they got Susan's attention and she went over there and, she goes, you know, he's like, oh, you guys got to turn it down or whatever. And she goes, are you the same officer that came over the last time? He goes, no, but I've been to this house before, which means that one of her kids was having a party at some point and the cops had to go. So that was the funniest thing about that. So, yeah, with just some fun things, you know, have happened that don't normally, you know, happen. Usually if you get a band going, you're cutting your teeth, you know, and just little things.
But so now you guys got some street cred, huh?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Just a little bit. Roof cred, street cred.
Well, very cool. So how is so this project majority, right? Or is it 100% cover right now?
Right now it is. We want to do some writing.
Right.
Right now we've just been trying to learn material. So,
how do we work on a set list? Do you all three of you bring in suggestions like, hey, I want to try to do this one?
Yeah. Usually we'll all text each other and say, hey, I want to do this. Right. I want to do this. I want to do this. And then we just learn them on our own and then get together
just,
and try to.
Yeah. It's a matter of really just trying to stay on top of like the 8 suggestions that are thrown out and narrowing it down to what we want to do that week.
Because covers are tricky. I'm sure you're all well aware because like it can be hot that week and you'd play it once and everybody goes nuts. And then all of a sudden you do it the next time. And right.
Yeah,
it's crickets. You know, it's like whatever. Everybody's sick of that song by that point,
right?
So it's like it's so.
I've always made a rule because I've done mostly covers.
Yeah,
you know, since I've been playing out, and I've always tried to make it a rule that if you can just go out to your car and turn on the radio and it's on, I have no interest in doing.
Yeah,
you know. And with this band, what I try to do, we try to find like songs that people are not doing, and because it's just 2 acoustic guitars and you know, female lead singer. You know, we try to find songs that it's like, no way, they're doing that. Yeah. That's crazy. You know, so just kind of keep it interesting.
Yeah. Well, we did do some live jamming today here in the living room. And this is just like you're saying, 2 guitars and vocals. And like, it's just, it was a lot of fun to see this, you know, especially like live just here in the living room. This is my, some of my favorite stuff. I just love doing these live acoustic sessions like this. And, we did do Tennessee Whiskey, which obviously Chris Stapleton made a huge hit in a couple of years back, and great song. But I love that what you guys do, the fact that you flip it, you know, having a female vocal. That's always one of my favorite things about hearing somebody else's version on a song or something like, you know.
Rather than me do the lead and her sing higher, you know, above me, 3rd up, 5th up, we decided to flip it and let her. And then I had to try to figure out how to that's one of the hardest things about this band is me trying to figure out, because I've always done like a third up or a fifth up and everything I've done, and trying to learn how to, because there's no way I'm doing a third up above her. It's not happening.
For those of you that don't know, that's music theory talk for harmonies. So.
Right. So yeah, there's no way I can sing higher than her. So it's been a fun time trying to figure out where my part is underneath.
You know?
And I'm getting pretty good at it. It doesn't take quite as long for me to figure it out as it did at the very beginning.
Right.
The very beginning, I'd just be walking around the house trying to sing it for like days on end. I'm like, I can't get it. I'd start it, and then all of a sudden I get sucked right up into her range. So
this is and of course, like, this is a song too that's like been done a bunch, a couple different versions, obviously out there. George Jones, you know, obviously is a big one. Stapleton kind of mashes together the Etta James, I'd Rather Go Blind, and George Jones, Tennessee Whiskey. It's like it's kind of a compilation, right, or, you know, a mashup of the two to make what his version of the song is. It feels so good, man. Especially that, but like you guys do it pretty close to what Stapleton does.
Yeah.
Right. So, except for, you know, Danielle belting it out there on that. So
there's nothing like your love to give me smooth Tennessee whiskey. Oh, and sweet is strawberry wine. You're stoned on your love all the time.
It's one of the big crowd pleasers when we play a show. And I think it's because of the vocals, really.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I think is super cool of people that hear it. But when you guys drop out and you do that a cappella, like, that's really a powerful thing to bring everybody in. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm sure the crowd just everybody turns. I'm sure anybody that's...
That actually wasn't planned when we first covered the song. That kind of just morphed into that. It wasn't like when we learned it, we're like, all right, here's what we're gonna
do. I think it actually started Matt was doing one of his walkout solos a Saturday at the Oyster Bar, and he kind of teased it, and somehow in there we did a bit of an acapella part, and we were like, oh, that was kind of cool, let's stick with that. And
kind of morphed into that now. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a must do type deal, you know.
But I can imagine a crowd at Oyster Bar patio eating dinner or whatever, and everybody just stops and turns what is going on, what was that, which is always super cool. I had a moment like that. I hosted my fifth birthday party down there for the show, and I had Odds Lane, Tony Campanella, and Amanda Fish join me, and just this killer night of
rock, that's fun.
Blues rock, and got loud and weird, and it was a lot of fun. And Allie Venable was down at Old Rock House performing, and we hit her up and we're like, hey, we're going late if you want to come party. And she crashed our party and jumped up there and jammed with Tony and the band, and she's, I think she was 19 or something at the time, and shows up in this super sparkly dress and grabs the guitar and just starts wailing away. And everybody's like, what is that? What is going on up there on that stage? And so and I'm just like, man, this is one of the best nights of my life. It was so cool.
It was awesome.
So, but I miss that patio, and I miss that live music down there so much. I know we're doing certain patio shows like that. You guys have been keeping busy down there on Sunday nights, and it's gonna be nice to get in there and pack it out again and stuff someday. Sure. So
yeah, the Sunday nights have been really good for us. It's been a lot of fun.
You were so kind of took on a residency there, right?
Not on purpose. I was just hoping for a chance. I was just begging them, just let's do one show. If you hate it, we'll go quietly, we won't be mad. And then they came back and they're like, want to do every Sunday? And I was like, okay. Yes, absolutely.
Especially an opportunity like that for a young band to kind of to grow, and then really
and they have such a diverse people that come down to it, so you can really reach people from all over, all over, not just the city, but the world.
The last gig we had a gentleman that was down there who I noticed he stayed for the whole second set and was like really getting into it. And I was like, yes, I'd like to see that. And I kind of spoke with him afterwards, and he was just a trucker that got, you know, a suggestion to come eat at the Oyster Bar on his day off. And he was like, I feel super lucky that I got to come here and enjoy this with you guys, you know? And that was really cool. I mean, we get that a lot there. There's a lot of people just kind of passing through that have to come see the Oyster Bar.
Yeah. Well, when I worked the door, like, I mean, and which I took a lot of pride in my job there, you know, I would essentially like the face of the company, you know, I would greet them and I would welcome them to the door and to the bar and to the show and whatever, you know, and I would, and I'm like, you're in for a treat tonight. Like, this is, you know, you got world-class music right here, and you made the right call, like, coming here tonight. So, and then of course at the end of the night after they had dinner, and they were like, man, you were so right. Like, I'm so glad I felt so good to hear people, like, you know, praising for my friends up there on the stage and stuff. So, like, that was always a lot of fun to be a part of those shows like that. But, yeah, I mean, people, they don't even know. Like, they just show up and, like, right. You know, and they blow their minds. So, yeah, that's, again, like just like a really cool opportunity to get in there and, like, stretch out. And you've been able to, especially having a reoccurring show like that, been able to invite some guests to join you. Yeah. I know Frank's sat in Frank on Bauer. Saxophone, and
Ian Bushman's come down and sat in.
Ethan Jones.
Yeah. So, Ethan Jones came down and he played his guitar, but he has a pedal that makes his guitar sound like a bass. And so he basically just played bass for us all night long. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
But yeah. That was when we played Closer to the Heart. In the middle of the song, he taps me on the shoulder while he's playing, and he's like, dude, I've been a Rush fan since I was in, like, my sophomore year of high school. And he said, that summer when I was 16, I just learned all the bass parts and all the guitar parts and everything. And it was right after the solo where there's a particular bass line that happens, and he hit it perfectly, like, all the correct articulations. And I just turned around and I was smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's such a great singer too. So he added another vocal to the thing, and I was like, woo, give me chills.
Full on Geddy Lee, man. Very cool. Yeah. Let's talk about Closer to the Heart. We did do a version here today with the three of you. And this, I mean, obviously, Rush is huge, you know, it's like, this is these songs are so massive on the records and stuff. Like, it's interesting to hear it, two guitars and a vocal and stuff down.
Well, that was you asked earlier about, you know, if we all just bring suggestions, that's Matt right there. Matt brought the Rush.
What did you say
when we learned it?
I was like, if we could learn a Rush song, that would make 14-year-old me very happy.
It made current me very happy.
Me too. Yeah.
Places must be the ones to start.
This obviously, you know, it's like some songs, it's tricky because, like, obviously this, like, you're really diving into the lyrics and you're focusing on that vocal and the stories in these songs and stuff. That's, you know, I mean, of course you get a fun guitar lick and everything, but when it's stripped down like that, you really dial into that kind of the vocals, I think.
Sure.
And you know, but in a certain song is like, you're just keep waiting. Like you want to hear that big drum, fill or what you want, whatever, you know, the keys and everything else. Like, but so it's interesting. So some songs don't always translate, but, so it's like, it's interesting to think about Rush translating to acoustic, but it works. Like, I mean, it's definitely a fun one to hear.
I think with that one in particular, and we stay true to the original version of it as much as we can. I learned the guitar solo note for note and everything. But the way that Steve does the bass line there, you can almost hear the drums, even though they're not present at all with us because we don't have a drummer.
Right.
But I mean, just the way it builds up and everything, it's almost like it's there.
Right. Yeah. So. Yeah, man. Well, very cool. Speaking of that though, like obviously the name, the extra three, but like, is there, and we've talked about adding, you know, players sitting in and stuff and jamming for the night. Is there any plans or any thoughts of to expand to more drums and saxophone or different things on a more regular basis? Or
I don't know. I already got the number three tattooed on me. Yeah. So.
If we do, I would prefer to come from, like, Danielle started playing bass now. You know, if we did add in other instruments.
I need to bring the saxophone out for sure.
That too.
I just think something about the stripped down version is what makes it cool. Right. You know, like, if you start adding drums and everything, then, then we might lose the acoustic guitars and get electric guitars. And then now we're,
we've lost the
original thing of what we had, you know. So, like I said, I mean, doing the Rush song, that spiraled into doing Zeppelin, Aerosmith, like all these songs that you would go, what? You guys do that on acoustic guitar? Yes, we do.
Motley Crue.
It spiraled into what other songs can we just totally make acoustic? So, yeah, I don't know. I'm, for one, really happy with just the three of us.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I'm not saying there needs anything else.
Sure.
And I think there's a certain chemistry among the three of us as a group that, you know, it's wonderful to have other people sit in with us, but it's definitely different.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. We always know where we're all at. Like,
yeah.
Steve and I read each other's minds all the time.
Yeah.
We call out songs and we're like, hey, I was just about to say that.
Right.
So. Yeah.
I mean, besides being in the band, the three of us are like best friends.
Sure.
So, you know, I mean, we hang out all the time. You know, we'll go see shows together. We'll go out to dinner together and watch, you know, go see Eric Lysett or something, you know, and so.
Yeah. I was going to make the joke that they are your kids, but
they had to make me the shirt. We'll get a picture later when you can post that.
That's why you're three hanging out all the time.
Yep.
But I'm guessing, you know, obviously, like we said, we got the shirt going. I'm sure that comes up, I guess.
Almost every gig.
Almost a lot. Yeah.
Yep. My favorite is we 9 times out of 10 get a girl who comes up to us and she's like, well, we made bets now. You guys are definitely his kids, right? And I'm always like, that's actually our grandfather.
Yeah, there's been several times. We were betting at the table.
Yeah.
There was, but you're not the only one to get that anymore, because there was a time I went and played with Eric Lysett for a friend's birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
And the bartender had no idea who we were. And I went up to get a drink, and the bartender just leans over and he goes, hey, man, you and your dad sound great.
It's the hair.
So I called Eric Pops the rest of the night. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
so they made me a shirt that says, no, they're not my children. Yeah. They're my kids, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
so. that was your Christmas present for the year. As we go to your family Christmas party.
Yeah, they invited me over to my family Christmas, and I was like, I got a shirt for the family when we all came down the stairs, and I had it on, everybody laughed.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That's fine.
I can take it. Yeah. No, I mean,
I am quite a bit older than them. They keep me young, though.
I hadn't heard that Lysett one. That's a good one.
That was one of my favorites, too.
Yeah.
Called him Pops the rest of the day. Sure, he loved that.
Eric Rolls, like, by the way.
He's one of our best friends. Yeah,
it was really funny. He said, well, sorry, man. I didn't know you were mine, so I have no money for you. It's like, I'm over 18 anyway. It doesn't matter. You don't owe me any money anyway.
Just let me call you dad.
That's all I want. Please.
Well, you can come out and see the extra three. Obviously, as summer kicks up here soon, I'm sure we'll be many patios we'll be playing. But you can find the extra three every second Saturday and fourth Friday at Cafe Telegraph.
On Telegraph Road.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you are regulars at the Broadway Oyster Bar. You said you guys will be picking up some gigs at Billy G's, mm-hmm. right?
In Kirkwood.
Kirkwood. Over there in Kirkwood.
So, and, of course, if you want to request the extra three at your favorite spot, put in a good word. I'm sure we can make that happen.
We also do, it's not set, but occasionally we play at the Over Under Bar on mm-hmm. Washington Avenue. Which is a great spot too.
Yeah, but yeah, man. I'm like I said, I can't wait for summer. You know, it's gonna be nice.
Me too.
Today was a good glimpse of that. Like, if it just felt good to be outside and not raining. And yeah, like, it was sun. Like, yeah. So like, I want a lot more of that. So, earlier we mentioned Zombie from the Cranberries, and this is one that I enjoy singing. Because I listen to a ton of 90s on 9 in my car. It doesn't sound nearly as good as your version, but but I do, and it is fun to try to get those notes. I don't know, like, obviously, I have a really difficult time pulling it off, but I enjoy singing those, like, a lot of these female pop songs. I'm Ace of Base and nice. Roxette and like all these, yes. I love these.
Going back to my childhood.
Yeah. I love these 90s pop songs with these female vocals like that. And I just like, and, or, Four Non Blondes. I was obviously that's my karaoke classic right there. Mm-hmm. And, but anyway, they're just fun for me. But this is a song, obviously, you know, just a great, you know, and these vocals are huge on this song. And this is one you said you brought to the original?
Yeah, I think this was the first song I ever played with you guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and that was, I learned that song at that moment.
Oh, really?
I didn't know the song.
Yeah?
I knew it. Like, I was a huge fan. I'm so disappointed that I never got to see the Cranberries live.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I always knew the songs growing up and everything, but it was like my very early 20s. I think it was on the radio, some song was. And I was just like, you know, this is a great song. I'm going to go buy this record. And I went and I bought like whatever three or four of them that were out at the time. And I started going through and I'm like, these guys are awesome. Mm-hmm. They're just totally awesome. So that's why I was so excited when she said that. I was like, by the Cranberries? Yes, let's go.
Yeah. I think my dad just played it a lot for me growing up because I've been singing that song since I was in elementary school. And it was just kind of like one of my go-tos for the karaoke, you know. And it was kind of interesting because my dad, he had a huge influence on me being so into music. And he kind of would pick out these songs that were really difficult or had weird vocals in them and be like, try to do this, you know, as like a 12-year-old. And I was like, sure, dad, I'll do that just fine. But it ended up working out great because I really don't shy away from too many things now. Or if I'm like, you give me about a month, I can get it down pretty good. And it's just one of those songs now that can pretty much do it, whip it out whenever I need it. So,
yeah, that's funny to me. Like, just, yeah. Yeah, you need Cranberries, Zombie? Okay, sure, no problem.
I can do that. Yeah.
Been waiting for you guys to ask.
We also do, what's the other one we do by them?
Linger.
Yeah. And we got some pretty cool harmonies on that one. There's mm-hmm. not much harmony to do on the other one, but Linger, we got some pretty cool stuff worked out.
Right.
Another head hangs.
of science, who are we mistaken? But you see, it's not me, it's not my family. In your head, they'll still fight day without tanks and their bombs and their bombs and their guns. In your head, they are dying. In your head, in your head, zombie, zombie, zombie. Hey, hey, what's in your head? In your head, zombie, zombie, zombie. Hey, hey, hey. It's the same old theme since 1916. In your head, in your head, they'll still fight day without tanks and their bombs and their bombs and their guns. In your head, they are dying. In your head.
Well, then, and like I said, one, the range. I mean, you go, it's pretty soft, and then it gets real high. Mm-hmm. But then you also get, like, that kind of growl in the voice there in the chorus and stuff. And, like, so there's a lot going on in that song for vocally and stuff. So
that's definitely the first song I learned how to growl with and how to do it in a way that didn't damage my voice. Because, you know, you go from doing that and then back to being really soft and quiet and, you know, kind of having that warm tone, you know, and then going back to that again. So
I think that song kind of helped me and Matt on our dynamics for our instruments, because we got to really tone it down when you're doing the verse.
Yeah.
And then when it gets into the chorus, you get real loud and it's like we got to, you know, so it kind of helped us with our dynamics.
They always drilled that into me in music school too. Just like, listen to what's going on around you or it's not going to sound good. And I mean, that's very true. Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that makes us so great, though, is we were talking about that chemistry earlier, but there are times where, like, even one of us, you know, either if it's me or Steve singing, you know, and just, I don't know how it happens, but all of us know exactly where we're at, what we're doing, if we need to get quiet, if we want to get louder, you know, where the energy's going, and it makes it really easy to kind of do whatever song we want to and, you know, have requests thrown our way and be able to do them. So
I'm so envious of that kind of stuff. The fact that like musicians have like that secret language that like you guys, like sometimes you don't even have to say anything. You can just read each other enough to where you know where they're going to go with the next thing or whatever. Or like Matt learning on the fly, like, oh, you know, whatever. Like, I never played a song, but okay,
and
here we go.
Yeah,
like,
and it gets to a point where you do it so much that you don't even think about it anymore until something goes horribly wrong.
Wait a minute.
But I don't play anything. I'm just a fan, and like, so it's like, but I hear these stories all the time, and I'm like, man, that's like really cool. Like, I mean, obviously, you guys, like, it's nothing for you guys, but like for me that doesn't have it, I'm like, that's cool. Like, so.
Well, we've talked about it before. Like, I mean, we try to get together every week to learn new stuff. But I think part of that, not only just playing the music, but also like when we're done sitting around BSing, you know, just talking about what we want to do, hanging out, talking about work and different things and becoming friends and knowing everything about each other. That absolutely helps too on stage, you know, because you know that person next to you. You know, it's just not somebody that you play music with, but it's your friend.
Sure.
You know? And you don't hate them.
Right. Yeah, right.
I actually like you guys just a little bit. Steve's kind of questionable.
Well, you said something earlier too about writing for this project is definitely a goal. Writing some originals together,
yeah, for sure.
Is that something we've started, or is just still on the bucket list kind of thing?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I mean, had COVID not happened, I would say we might be into that, but it was such a struggle to get together, and then you know, trying to play gigs and at least keep it going, because it was so new at the beginning, it easily could have just fallen apart. I feel like, you know, we don't have any gigs. Sorry, guys. You know, I'll see you in a year, you know. And
yeah, we got really lucky with those private parties to kind of keep us together and keep us playing. And, you know, I mean, I didn't see you guys for the first month since just the lockdown.
About. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit longer. Yeah. But.
And then it was like, yeah, why don't you guys come over and we'll stay 6 feet apart and learn some songs.
Yeah. Sit
and
on the carport.
That kind of like, it kind of just, it's so funny. It like, it put a big damper in the band, but it also, I think it made us stronger quicker, you know, than we might, you know, if it was just everything was open and things were hunky dory, you know, we might have missed a step or two, you know, kind of deal, and overlooked some things. That,
Well, we wouldn't have gotten the opportunity to play those private parties and meet such amazing people that have gotten us connections in so many other places. And
that's very true.
It really gave us the time to also kind of like refine our sound and, you know, get to know each other really well in a setting where it wasn't like, you know, we're at Broadway Oyster Bar and we sound like crap and they're like, all right, guys, get the hell out. You know?
So
you got an audience of people that know you, and, you know, it was, I think, everything works out how it should, and I definitely think that was one of those things for sure.
Yeah,
I'd agree.
Well, like we said, the set list kind of goes all over the place, what you guys can play. But I do find it fun, like when I'm obviously friends with several original artists that also play cover gigs on, you know, and when they can drop in an original song in the middle of a set and nobody knows the difference, you know, when they're like, oh, that sound, like, well, who is that one? Well, that's mine, you know, it's like, and that's like, I just find that like the coolest way to do it, like to sprinkle them in, and then like, and then people just assume it was a cover because you know your sound so well, it fits right in with everything else you've already been playing. Yeah. So,
and then after a while, after they hear it, they start knowing it and they're singing it, and then they're like, you know,
for sure.
Hopefully that's the way it happens.
Yeah.
We'll get on it soon. It's kind of, It's still a new project, you know.
Well, I know a guy with podcasts. Whenever you're ready to debut some originals,
cool.
So, you know where to find me. I've been going around town asking some of these silly questions and having a lot of fun with these. So, if you guys wouldn't mind entertaining some of these for me, what's a song that always gets stuck in your head? obviously we could probably make a zombie joke right there with it, but is there anything
that we do, or just any song?
Anything. I mean, I tend to get like these, like just one line on a loop stuck in my head and like on repeat until I just go nuts and like, is there any, what's like the latest thing that's like been on repeat like for you?
That's funny. There should be songs stuck in my head of like songs that I'm trying to learn the lyrics so we can do the songs. And those are not the ones that pop in my head for some reason. Man, I don't know. That's a hard question.
Yeah.
I think it varies.
Anything come to mind for you? Daniel was laughing, so she must have something. So.
Well, I don't even know if I can say the title of it.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one that All Roostered Up plays a lot that I would like to play acoustic, but it doesn't really work out acoustic, but we get asked to do it a lot.
What is it, Liquor and Whores?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, from Trailer Park Boys. Yeah. Yeah.
But lately, my jam has been a live version of Eric Clapton doing... I Shot the Sheriff.
All right.
And he has two female background singers, and one of them just does this crazy super high note, and I think I sent it to the group chat, and it's that line has been stuck in my head on repeat for the last like 2 weeks, and poor Tyler, my boyfriend, has heard me go around the house just doing that one line like over and over because I can't get it out of my head, but it is incredible. It's really good.
Yeah. That's funny how like that. And I don't know, like it's there's a comedian I like that Matt Bronger, and he kind of talks about it, and he kind of sums it up perfectly for what happens in my brain. But it's like I think he uses the example of Billy Joel's Piano Man, and I forget what the lyric is, but he talks about how like it, he just gets one line out of that, and then it loops, and then he goes, and then he starts like remixing it in his brain until, you know, it's like, it just keeps adding to it. And it's like, but it just makes me laugh. Cause like, it's like so much of what happens in my brain, like, and now I'll start mashing things together and stuff too. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know. Like, I wish I could like use that creativity that's happening and channel it and make something.
You need to get like a mixer.
Yeah. But I don't know how to make what happens in here.
Like, so. Well, I know that.
Yeah. But, Matt, you got one? Did you come up with an answer?
It changes almost daily.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite artists though are like Tom Petty, Fish is one of my favorite jam bands to go and see. Lately, though, I've been listening to a lot of Dream Theater.
Yeah.
And so some of their stuff has been getting stuck in my head. Not necessarily, like, lyrical lines, but just riffs that happen in some of the songs. And
there you go. The Extra Three is going to cover Dream Theater.
No, we're not. That's a promise. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Everybody just went, yes.
I those are guitar parts I can't do on electric guitar, let alone acoustic.
Yeah. All right. What about, I was listening, and I've talked about it a couple times, but I've been listening to Stern Show, and he had Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters on a little bit ago to plug the record. And Dave was telling a story about going to Paul McCartney's house and partying and jamming with him, and Taylor Swift was there, and they're just having a fun hangout and playing songs, and I'm just like, man, what a cool night that would have been, just to be a part of that party and stuff. So got me thinking, what would be like a dream dinner, like if you could have like invite some past or present guests, you know, just who would be somebody that you would like to have on the guest list at your party?
Freddie Mercury.
Yeah,
100%. Yep. It's kind of like my main inspiration.
Yeah.
Loved him to death. I think he's super inspirational. It's kind of who I've always tried to model my music career after, you know, just being free and loving and caring and just doing whatever makes you feel good.
And you are wearing your Queen shirt.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Always. I wear this shirt to most of our gigs.
For me, it'd be for present, somebody that's alive, I would love to have over to dinner just to pick his brain, hear his stories, is Todd Snyder. Obviously.
Right. Yeah.
And I mean, he's a guy I'm sure like just has stories for days. Just
yeah,
like, I mean,
absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Been to any of his shows. Right. Like, my gosh.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the stories are true. I don't care. I would just hang on every word.
there's at least an ounce of truth in all of those stories.
Yeah.
You would think.
I love that stuff though. That's some of my favorites. Just like songwriters like that. Like those guys can just sit there and rattle off these stories for, and I'm hooked on all of them. Like,
he'll say, I'll come to your town and play a song and tell you a story about it. And then the next time I come to town, I'll tell you a whole other story about it.
Yeah. Some of the details from the same story might be different.
Right. So that'd be mine, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd probably have to go with either Neil Peart or the combination of Tom Petty and George Harrison, because they were apparently really, really good friends.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
That's also,
it'd be interesting to
I mean, that's a fun thing too, to think about that combination, having the two of them together, just so you can listen to them go back and forth. Like, you know, like those, rattle off those stories together and stuff. Like, so yeah, that would be fun.
I was reading one of his biographies. It was a while ago, but apparently, George Harrison just loved to use the fax machine to contact Tom Petty. Like, that was one of his favorite things to do for whatever reason. I just thought that was really funny.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody's listening. What's a fax machine? Right.
Probably.
All right. We did one the other night. I was talking, and of course, like, I got to tell some stories about, you know, it was a lot of very, I noticed like right away, there's a lot of very dated references. And like, I was like, you know, yeah, we went to the Blockbuster, we rented a tape, and I'm like, when is anybody, like, when's the last time people talked about that kind of stuff?
I just watched that new Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
The Last Blockbuster. Right. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, you know, like, it's like, worlds change so much in a very, very quickly, where like, these things are, so many of these things are obsolete that nobody even knows about and stuff.
You had to leave your house
to
go find a movie to watch.
Yeah.
Then you had to pay for that.
But we also, I was brought it up about music too, how like, you know, when people, you would have a record and you would like have to, or you didn't have to, but you would, it was be an investment, you know, it's like, this album is, I only have a couple, you know, now you have every one of them in your pocket. Like, so it's like, so it's like, sometimes it's even hard to even come up with a song to listen to because you have unlimited options. Sure. So it's like,
same thing as far as watching TV too.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know how many times I spend most of the night scrolling, trying to find something. By the time I find something, I'm like, man, it's about time for bed.
I'll just watch this again.
Going back to the music thing, it's super weird now. I think I was talking about listening to Chris Stapleton's new album, and so I got it. I got the vinyl, and I was like, oh yeah, dude, this is going to be awesome. And I told myself, like, I need to sit down and listen to it all the way through. And I got to think, I was like, I don't remember the last time I sat down and listened to an album front to back, just because I got Apple Music and I can just pull up whatever song is stuck in my head or whatever song I'm thinking about and just listening to it. So,
and it's crazy. Like, you almost have to make time to do that.
Yeah.
And as a society, we don't do that anymore. And, even with music festivals and everything, like, you have 7 different bands playing at the same time. You have to choose to go see the one that you want to go see, and you have to miss out on, you know, possibly 3 others that you want to see. And you only get to see it for an hour. And like, going to see a full show by one band is a, like, it shouldn't be, but it's a huge commitment at that point.
Right.
And
yeah, I never liked that about when when they stack lineups like that, to where they have to make that call. I have to, you know, and it's like a, you know, coin flip when I'd like to see both. So it's like,
that'd be terrible.
But, that Stapleton record is so good. That's first time I heard that Maggie song, and I just cried. It's a tough one. But I'm really glad he put You Should Probably Leave. I'm really glad that made the record, because that's one I've been like, there's a YouTube version of him and his wife singing it, just like basically the two of them acoustic at some festival thing, and it's like super cool. And I'm like, I used to watch it several times because like, it's the only version that was available. And I'm like, man, I love the song. Like, I wish he'd cut it. And it's, you know, this was probably, that clip's probably 5-6 years old or whatever. So it's been sitting around, and I always had a song for quite a while, and it finally made the new album. So I'm glad it's one of my favorites. Just like,
that's awesome.
I didn't know that. I'll have to check out that YouTube video.
Yeah.
That was the first time that I heard it.
Yeah. It's good. Like, I mean, but it's just kind of, you know, again, of course it's Chris Stapleton, you know, like, but he's got, just imagine he's got what songs he's sitting on that, you know, haven't made the record, like all these.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and he's written so many for everybody else too.
But he's so good.
Getting that mailbox money.
Yeah. all right. What about, the day comes, we have a extra 3 biopic. Who would you like to see cast to play you all in the movie version?
Ooh.
Do you ever get, you look like somebody? But besides Eric White?
Every bald person.
Mr. Clean.
Mr. Clean could play me.
Be a live action, but Steve is a cartoon character.
I always get the, hey man, you look just like my buddy, and they'll show me a picture of a bald guy. And I'm like, really? I don't really look like, okay. So yeah, I don't know. Whoever's a good actor and they're bald, I guess, is definitely me.
Lately, I've been getting told I look a lot like Dave Mustaine, so.
Yeah.
That'd be an awesome.
I don't know how his acting is, but I really don't care.
If Dave Mustaine's going to portray you, sure. Sign off on that.
Yeah. At least he can play guitar, though. Like,
so. Yeah, there you go.
That's true.
Can he play acoustic guitar?
I don't know.
I don't think we've ever seen him with acoustic guitar.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm going to say Anne Hathaway because I've been in love with her forever. So I would love for Anne Hathaway to play me. But no, I don't know. I don't really think I look like anyone in particular.
Yeah. But. Does Anne Hathaway sing?
I think she did Les Mis, didn't she?
I didn't watch it, but that sounds right, though.
I think she did the singing, and she did I Dreamed a Dream, which was actually one of my show audition songs, and I based it off that version, so it works.
Yeah. I do, I brought it up the other night, too, but like a guy like Bradley Cooper, you know, like I thought that was just super cool, like to find out that he can actually sing, too. Like,
yeah.
You know, like I never didn't know, and he sounds great. Like he did a really good job in it. Star is Born and stuff, and so yeah, that was a fun movie to watch. Like, because for me, the first time nobody told me anything about it, and like I went, and then Lucas Nelson and the Promise of the Real are his backing band in the movie, and I'm like, oh shit, like that's cool. Like I love Lucas, like, and I'm a big fan of the group, and so like it was fun to see some of my friends in the movie. So
that's cool.
Yeah. But yeah, that be fun. We get some bald guy, Anne Hathaway, and Dave Mustaine.
That'd be a great lineup.
Let's make that happen, Hollywood.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's just the dude has to be bald.
You could always slap a bald cap on someone, though.
No.
I could play you.
It wouldn't be the same.
It'd have to be a bald guy. We all look alike. That's what I've been told.
Has to be a method actor. That's the people. What about, you know, some of these names have come up, but like, what about a dream duet or collaboration? Who is there something that we think about? Like, it'd be a lot of fun to have something like that.
Like be on stage with somebody.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you guys got to do a lot of cool ones already, but I mean, like, is there something, a name comes to mind that you'd like to jam with sometime?
I would love to jam, although I'm not near his level, but my favorite guitar player since a kid has always been Zakk Wylde.
Yeah.
So sit on a stage with Zakk Wylde and jam with him would be awesome.
Yeah.
And that, nearly his caliber. I'd be like, I'll just play G, C, and D, man. You just rip it. That'd be mine.
Yeah.
I got to meet him once and he was super cool, which was so refreshing. And I was so afraid. Okay, I'm in line. I'm going to, you know, get his autograph and please don't be a dick. Please don't be a dick. And he was like, took a picture with me and put his arm around with me, you know, and shook my hand and right on, man. And he was like, oh, I was like, oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Because you hear those horror stories.
Sure.
Like, oh, I love this guy. And then you meet him. You're like, wow, what an ass. Yeah. So that was not Zakk Wylde. So he was, to this day, remained my favorite guitar player.
Yeah, some of those guys and girls, you got to realize, like, they are people too. And, like, and they have off days. And, like, so I try to take it. But there are some that just like
they go out of their way.
They're just assholes. Yeah. Yeah. But like, but I've been fortunate enough, like saying, like I've met some of those guys, and they've always, there's been a bunch of them that have been super cool and like gone out of their way to be friendly and stuff too. Like Gary Clark Jr. Like he's just as cool as you would want him to be. Like he's like super chill and just like real down to earth about everything and. Took pictures and signed autographs or whatever, anybody that wanted to hang out and stuff. That was, and then I did meet, I met Slash. I got him to sign a CD, but I didn't, they were like, move the line along kind of thing. They didn't want everybody taking pictures. But again, it was like, he was a Miles Kennedy in the Conspirators show that he did at the pageant. And like, you know, again, he's Slash. He doesn't have to get out here and do this for the fans, but he does. And I thought that was really cool. Like, so.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like a paid thing, you know, it was like, I didn't have to spend $50 to go meet them or whatever. So, but yeah, it's always nice when you meet those, your legends and they're super cool. So.
Yeah.
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 The first concert I ever went to was Sammy Hagar. I was 10 years old. So, yeah. I don't know that that was the best place for a 10-year-old to be, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But I did get to meet him. He was super cool. But as far as, like, just a musician that I would like to jam with, Trey Anastasio from Phish, just to really pick his brain about playing guitar and how he approaches it. But then, I mean, Andy Frasco in the UN would be awesome as well.
Yeah.
Particularly Sean. Like, I got to meet him. He was super cool. I asked him if he could do a lesson with me sometime, and he said, "Dude, I've never taught a lesson in my life." And I was like, "Cool, fair enough. Then great." And yeah. But I've kept in touch with him off and on since that time I first met him, and he's been nothing but awesome. So, Sean, if you're listening, let's jam sometime.
There you go.
Yeah, I'd say probably Andy too, Andy Frasco in the UN. I've taken a couple lessons from Ernie, their saxophone player, and he's just the nicest person ever and super sweet and super fun to take a lesson from. Local, I would love to play with Amanda Fish, another really strong female vocalist who's just so incredible.
Yeah, so badass.
Oh, yeah. And I got to see her with Jeremiah Johnson at the Oyster Bar, and it was the first time that I got to see her and meet her. And like, she started singing, and I was like, yes, everything about this. Yes, this is exactly like what I want to do. You know, just the rock and roll and blues and the really strong, you know, vocals. And I feel like I've always been told, you know, you got to be, especially with show music, you know, you got to be quiet. You're a woman, you know, be feminine, be, you know, soft. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to get loud. I want to yell. I want to growl. You know, I want those voice cracks in there. I want to do the whole shebang. So I would love to do stuff with her. And then like I said before, if I could have the chance to make music with Freddie Mercury or even Brian May and them right now, I would die to do that. I love all of them to death. So
yeah. Very cool. Yeah. let's see. What about, is there like a TV show or a movie that you wish you were in, like a certain world that you would like to be a part of that you think of, fantasize about kind of thing, that something like
that? I think me and Matt are going to say the same thing.
I know what mine is. I'll let you guys answer that one first.
Wait, what were you going to say?
I was going to say King of the Hill.
Ah, yes, I was going to say King of the Hill.
That's a good one. Are you guys both on board on that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. King of the Hill. By far.
That's... hands down, Roseanne. Yeah. The original Roseanne.
Yeah.
Hands down, Roseanne. Because that was kind of my childhood growing up.
Sure.
My parents had three kids, and there was always yelling and screaming and all that. So why not just be in a sitcom?
Yeah. Oh, we didn't have it full on, like, the as many kids and everything, but we were definitely white trash growing up. And like, I think that's what made that show great, was it was reality. Like, it was this is true middle America families and stuff, not some of these other, you know, families that are portrayed on TV. So I think that's what made that such a success and stuff. So,
And it's still good to this day.
Yeah. The kind of, I mean, anything John Goodman's good. So like,
I will say King of the Hill, and a little throwback for my little emo heart, Invader Zim. If I could exist in that universe, it'd be amazing.
Yeah. I often think about too, like, I'm a big fan of The Office, and like, I just think not really a fan of the office work and life, but just like that cast and crew. Like, I mean, I just like feel like that would be a lot of fun to be a part of that world that they, you know, and stuff. So, I think about that stuff too. Like, it would just be,
if you could just help Jim.
Yeah. Pester right. Yeah.
Dwight for sure. Every day. Yeah.
Definitely. But
I'm a big Muppets fan too. So if you threw me in the Muppets, I'd be happy. Hanging out with Kermit. That'd be awesome. You play banjo, I'll play guitar. We'll jam.
There you go, man. Maybe that make the set list someday.
Oh, that'd be awesome. We do a Muppet song.
I can't sing like Kermit. So
a couple of years ago, I was coming back from Ireland, and we had layover. We got back into the States, and I got news that my uncle passed away. And my cousin was texting me, and he's like, "We want you to play at the funeral." And I was like, "I want to, but that's just so hard to do." I'm like, "All right, I'll do it." Well, your uncle is a big Queen fan. Can you do a Queen song? And I'm like, dude, the funeral's in like 2 days. Like, there's no way, man, because I can't sing that stuff, you know, and I'd have to rearrange the guitar and everything. And he's like, well, you know, just pick out whatever you want to do. And I was like, just trust me, I got something. So there's a, and from one of their movies in the 80s, there's a song called Saying Goodbye that they did. So I learned it and I went and played that, and it was nerve-wracking as all hell, but I got through it. And at the end, my aunt was crying. She was like, that was the most beautiful song. Who does that? And I go, you ready for this one? She's like, what? I go, The Muppets. And she's like, I should have known that. But it worked. It worked. So, yeah. So who knows? Maybe we'll do a Muppet song sometime.
I got a, I have a Dr. Teeth shirt that I wear around, and I get quite a bit of attention for that when I wear it out. And so there's a lot
I got a t-shirt with a fake pocket and Kermit's head sticking out of it. There you go. So I got the Kermit in my pocket.
Well, there's a lot of Muppet fans out there though and stuff. So, but yeah, that's a great story, man. That's funny to bust that out on them.
Yeah, because all my family knows I've always, since a little kid, I've always loved the Muppets. So.
Right. Well, very cool, man. This has been a ton of fun, you all. I'm really glad we made this happen.
Yeah, glad we got to make the time to do it. It's tough to get four adults all in a room together at the same time.
Yeah. Well, you can find the extra three on your Facebook and Instagram. Get involved there and find out more about upcoming shows.
We're releasing .com soon, right?
Yeah. Our website will be up now.
Right.
And so that'll be the extra3.com. You can find us on Twitter too. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
I just found out we were on Twitter like last week. I was like, hey, I guess I'll follow the extra3 on Twitter. I didn't know we were out there. I don't computer. I'm the old guy in the band. I don't computer. They're going to show me how to do everything.
I don't know, man. Twitter's it's a tough
weird
one.
World.
Yeah.
I try. I post all the shows there, and but it's just like, you know, nothing, no activity. Mm-hmm. So it's very I don't know how people figured out how to make that, you know, work for them. But I know there's a ton of people there, and a lot of people do really well. But I've never been able to find an audience there. But
seems like if you're not complaining about something, you're not going to have a lot of traction on Twitter.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. You're not talking politics or bitching about something.
But that's all right. We still have an account, so follow us.
Yeah. All that stuff is thrown out there, so somebody hopefully sees it.
Yeah. Well, I know, but I also know that same thing. Some people are just sick of the Facebook world, and they prefer to have it on Twitter and stuff. So for those people, you can follow us on Twitter also.
Right.
Yeah. But very cool. I mean, like I said, this was really a great night. I'm really glad we made this work, and hopefully next time we'll be playing some original tunes and sprinkle some of those in there and stuff, and talking about a extra3 record coming out or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in the works. Yeah. It's in the works. But just got to battle through this COVID thing.
I'm holding you too. Now it's on the record, so
it's gonna play back for you.
Someone's got to hold us accountable.
Yeah.
We don't.
It's not gonna be us.
All right. Well, thank you guys. And I will talk to you soon. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.